attitude of gratitude. Can we just begin to reflect back when he changed us? Oh, he's been good to me. Amen. He's brought me a mighty long way. And he's not done. Is anybody glad that he's still at work in your life? Amen. I want to submit to the process. Amen. Amen. At this time, I want us to go in special prayer. Many of you know that Brother J.C. Panska suffered a major heart attack, and he is scheduled for quadruple bypass surgery on Monday at 12:30. So I want the Church of the Living God to lift our brother up and the Panska family up in prayer right now. Can we do that? Amen. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now, God, peace be still to the mind, to the soul, to the spirit, God. Let us realize that you are in control, God. Every fear has to flee at the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that a comfort and a peace would sweep in that room, that he would know that you are in control, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would lead the surgeon's hands and the techs and the nurses, Lord, the anesthesiologists, Lord, as they go under this procedure, God. And I pray that he would have a quick and a swift recovery in the name of Jesus. Come on, why don't we receive that word? Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. It's good to have Sister Geneva in the house. Amen. She had a total knee replacement, and we are so glad that you are back with us. We missed you, Sister Geneva. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Brett, it's good to have your family here with us. Kevin, it's good to have your family here with us. Amen. We're also excited that Aaron is going to get baptized today in the name of Jesus. Amen. So glad to have Bill Yackel and your family here with us. Let me tell you that Bill is a friend of this church and Lifeline Connect. We thank you for everything that you do, your hard work, your sacrifice. He comes on his own time every Thursday. And he meets here because it was his vision and his idea to walk beside Lifeline and to create a fundraiser, because he has a heart for these gentlemen and he wants to see that 24-man dorm built. Come on, glory to God. God's doing it. And today his family's going to watch his precious nephew be baptized. Amen. What a wonderful, glorious occasion. I want to preach a message today that's been inspired much of the book Whisper by Mark Batterson. And it is a sequel to the book Circle Maker. How many of you have ever read that book? That book has greatly impacted my life. So I believe that God does have a word for us today. Now, how many of you will receive the word of the Lord today? Come on, with open ears to hear and a spirit to receive. Amen. And faith to step forward. Amen. And mix that word and let it bear fruit in our life. Half a century ago, an otolaryngologist, Dr. Tomitis, was confronted with the most curious case of his 50-year career. A renowned opera singer had mysteriously lost his ability to hit certain notes, even though those notes were still in his octave range. He'd been to some other specialists, and they all thought it was a vocal problem. But Dr. Tomitis thought otherwise. So using a somometer, he discovered that the opera singer was producing 140 decibel sound waves. That's a little bit louder than a military jet taking off, in case you were wondering. Well, that discovery led to this diagnosis. The opera singer had been deafened by the sound of his own voice. And because he couldn't hear the note, he could no longer sing the note. In the doctor's words, the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. The French Academy of Medicine dubbed it the Tomatis effect, but I think the implications are far more greater than opera. You see, the Bible says that we have an enemy of our souls, and he is the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of all lies, and if you listen to his lies long enough, it will deafen the voice of God in your life. And if you can't hear the voice of God, you can't sing his song, and your life is going to be off key. You see, many times in our life, we can't differentiate between conviction and condemnation. You see, the enemy works in condemnation. As Brother Shoemaker taught in Christian Concepts, we live in a fallen world. This life is short. It's full of trouble. If you've never run across trouble in your life, just live a little bit longer. I'm sure that you will meet it. And the enemy, whenever we have life and we have failures in our life, we all stumble and fall. We all make mistakes. But it's the job as the accuser of the brethren, as the father of lies, to be able to walk beside you, not if you fall, but when you fall, and sing backup of condemnation and shame and guilt. Every time that you try to pick yourself back up and dust yourself off, you hear the lies of the enemy that says, "Who do you think you are? What's the point in even trying? You've tried so many times to beat this thing on your own. You know you can't do it. You might as well just stay down. Or there's no point in working in this marriage because you know that there's been so many fights. You know there's been so many times that we've thrown in the towel. You know that there's been so many classes and things that we've done that it seems like nothing seems to change in our life and in our marriage. So we might as well just give up. We might as well just file for divorce." That is the job of the enemy, to walk beside you and to project a hopeless situation in your life. And the job of the enemy is always to bring the negative things in light and keep them right in front of your face. He wants to keep you bound. He wants to keep you from receiving hope. You see, but as a believer, conviction and condemnation kind of feel like the same thing. And sometimes it's hard for us to differentiate the two. But I want to try to help you this morning. Condemnation, as I mentioned, is always bringing you down. But you see, God always wants the best for you. And just like any good parent, sometimes you have to discipline your children whenever they do something wrong. But it is always with a voice of encouragement. It is always with a voice of positive reinforcement. "Hey, I am for you. Hey, you can make this. Hey, you can change and get better." And let me tell you that the voice of God is always lifting you up, even though he may correct you in a situation because he knows it's for your own good. He knows that he is lifting you up because he sees the ultimate potential that you can be. And the conviction of God will always be drawing you closer to him, never separating you from him. And in order to differentiate the two, you need to have in your belief system who he is. You need to know the heartbeat of God and how he feels about you. And let me just help you out a little bit and tell you how God feels about you. Whenever you were an enemy of the cross, whenever you were lost and undone in your sins, and there was a price and a penalty that had to be paid that separated a holy God from an unholy people, let me tell you, God robed himself in flesh, and he did not just say, "Hey, I'm going to do away with the penalty," but he laid down his life and he paid the full purchase price for our redemption, and he set us free. And no longer do we have this chasm of sin that separates us, but now we can humbly yet boldly approach the throne room of God that we may obtain grace and favor in our life. Is anybody thankful that you're a child of God, that you're redeemed, that you are no longer your mistakes, but you've been justified out Abba Father. That is an Aramaic word that simply means intimacy. As whenever I would go to my child and Brecklin would call me daddy. It's a very intimate word. It's a very personal word. And whenever he adopts us into his family, we inherit all the spiritual blessings that we read about through Abraham is our inheritance. And his righteousness becomes our righteousness. So it doesn't matter our sin. It doesn't matter our failure. It doesn't matter our past mistakes. It says that his righteousness is imputed unto us. It's not who we are or what we do. It's simply who he is. You want to talk about the love of God. You want to talk about a perfect love. You want to talk about a complete love. That's saying, hey, I'm going to take away all your sin. I'm going to take away all your mistakes. I'm going to take away all your failures in your past. And I'm going to cast them as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered. And then I'm going to give you my name. And with that name comes power. And let me tell you, our Savior, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too. And guess what? All of those riches and the glory has been deposited into your bank account. Let me tell you, that's something to get excited about, amen? Because you have the name of the King. You have the authority of the King, and all you have to do is use that name, amen? But let me tell you, you can have all the riches, you can have all the blessings of God in that bank account, but sometimes we lose sight of the privileges and the blessings and who we are as a child of the King, and we forget to make deposits or withdrawals out of that account. And we start doing things in our own strength, in our own ability, and we forget about the resources that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, we can have all of that, but if we do not apply it to our life, and if we do not have the heartbeat of God and how he feels about us, when we go through trials and tribulation, it will be so easy to hear the voice of condemnation. But whenever you have a relationship with the King, and you know his love for you, and you know that you are his child, and if he makes the love of our parents towards our children seem evil, how much more does he love you? And because I know his heartbeat, because I've experienced that he's faithful and that he's true and that I can trust him and that he's never left me or forsaken me, I can trust that he knows the plans and he's ordering my footsteps. And though I may be going through trials, though I may be going through tribulation, I know the heart of my Father, and I know that he's going to make it work together for good. Come on, if you believe that, why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? So we're talking about the voice of the enemy, but let's talk about our own voice. You see, sometimes it's our own negative self-talk, and God can't even get a word in edgewise. You've heard this voice so often and for so long in your life that you can't believe anything about yourself. You think about the children of Israel whenever they were in bondage. And in captivity for 400 years, they were slaves, and they acted like slaves, and they thought like slaves. And God shows up and raises up a man, Moses, in a supernatural way and equips him to be able to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. And they see the supernatural through the plagues that were sent to Egypt, and God delivers them in a miraculous way. Whenever the Egyptians were chasing after them and they had nowhere to go, there was the Red Sea in front of them, and there was the Egyptian chariots and soldiers behind them. And Moses said, I want you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, God was fighting the battle for them. It was nothing that they had to do. It was just because of who they were. They were God's redeemed people, and he heard their cry, and he was bringing them out of bondage. And as they sat still and saw the salvation of the Lord, they watched that Red Sea part, and they walked through the miraculous. And as they were walking through, the Egyptians started to chase after them. They all of a sudden saw the waves and the wall come crashing down and wash away their past lifestyle, wash away their slavery, and they finally start walking in the promises of God. And you see, when we have a supernatural relationship with Jesus, Jesus and we walk away from our old life and we start pursuing this new life with Jesus, the Bible says that we are born again into the kingdom and we are just yet babes in Christ. But sometimes for so many years, it doesn't matter how long you've been living in the world, you carry this mentality, you carry this mindset that does not go and navigate with the Spirit. It's that old mindset of the world. It's that old mindset of the flesh. And a lot of times that slave-like mentality, you are your mistakes. You're not worthy. You can't walk in all the promises and the glory that God has for you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever want to accomplish the promised land in your life, you've got to get rid of that slavery mindset. And you've got to believe that the promises of God are for you. You see, God could deliver them out of slavery, but He couldn't get that mindset out of them, because every one of us have two different mindsets in us. Just like when we read the 12 spies went out into that promised land, they saw the supernatural. They saw the manna fall from heaven every day and miraculously feed them. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But yet, they had this report inside of them whenever God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you the victory. It says that 10 came back with a negative report. You see, because they had that slavery mindset of, oh, I've been defeated for 400 years. This is all I've ever known for 400 years. This is the way that it's always going to be. I'm never going to break free. My situation or circumstance is never going to change. Yeah, I might have seen the supernatural in my life, but guess what? It's only been a matter of time, and I know that I may experience good for a while, but things are always going to go back to the way they were. You got to get past that mindset. You've got to choose to believe that positive report. You've got to get rid of that negative voice in your life, because we can zoom out of the picture and we can see from the perspective of Moses and say, why wouldn't you believe that God's going to give you this? Think about it. They just literally saw an entire Egyptian army be swept away by a supernatural act of God. He literally parted the Red Sea. And they saw, go here in your mind's eye. Think about it. I know it's easy to read through Scripture, but think about the supernatural. We either believe the Word of God or we don't. And I choose to believe that God came in a supernatural way and He parted the Red Sea. They saw the plagues. They saw the deliverance. They saw the pillar of cloud. They saw the pillar of fire. You can see all these things looking back as we read it through Scripture and we say, well, why wouldn't they believe that God's going to give them this? He brought them this far to this point. Why would He just bring them up to this point just to let them fail? But so many times in our life, we can experience the supernatural. We can look back and we can see God's mercy and grace in our life. We can see the supernatural hand of God make a way when there seemed to be no way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And you see things start to happen in your life, but you think, I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of this. Oh, it's just going to be a matter of time that it's all going to fall apart because I don't have what it takes to keep it all together. Well, I got a newsflash for you, honey. You don't have what it takes to keep it all together. But if you'll realize that it was Him that brought you through the storm, it was Him that gave you another chance. It was a Him that kept you and redeemed you and sanctified you and ordered your footsteps. And if you would realize that it was in your weakness that He was made strong, if you'll just let God be God in your life and give Him control, I promise you He'll never leave you or forsake you, but His will accomplish its intended purpose in your life. But you got to get rid of the negative self-talk. You see, that inner critic of negative self-talk is not harmless. It inhibits you. It limits you. It stops you from pursuing the life that truly God wants you to experience. It robs you of peace of mind and emotional well-being, even leading to problems of depression and anxiety. Imagine a small child that was learning to walk. And this child is taking its first steps. And the parent of that child would see the first step. And the child would be a little bit shaky and stumble and fall. And what if that parent just looked at that child and said, "You dummy. Who do you think you are? You're a mistake. What's the point in even trying?" I know that example seems kind of ludicrous and kind of outrageous. But imagine if that parent would see that child take its first step, and that parent would just smile. And that parent would just say, "I believe in you. You have what it takes. You may stumble and fall, but don't stay down. Get back up and try again, because you got this. You're going to make it. I believe in you. You are not your mistakes." And whenever that inner critic constantly labels you in a negative way, it has a demoralizing effect in your life that shapes a larger concept of who you are and what you believe that you can accomplish. Come on, I'm going to expose some lies of the enemy today. Because I'm going to tell you where that inner critic likes to live. It likes to live in hiding. You see, that inner critic doesn't want you to notice it. And it thrives best whenever you mistake it for being a part of your authentic self. You've heard the voice for so long that you've just accepted it as, "This is who I am." And you see things in a negative light. And all you believe is the worst in yourself. But I've come to tell you that you were not born with an inner critic. And the critic is a voice that you have internalized based on influences from the outside. Whether you've been wounded from a relationship and you've been hurt, or you've had people project things upon you, false beliefs and things that aren't true about your life. And whenever you experience enough failure, and whenever people say enough negative things about you, you start to believe those things in your life, and you start to internalize them, and you can't differentiate between who you are and what you do. And you start believing that you are your mistake, that you're not worthy, that you can't approach the throne room of grace, that you may obtain mercy. And I'm here to tell you that that isn't who God designed you to be. God hasn't designed you to have a negative voice in your life. You are not your mistakes. You are not your behavior, but you are a child of the King. And the way that you get rid of that inner critic and that negative self-talk in your life, as I said, is you've got to identify it, and you've got to expose it to the truth and say, "That's not me. That's not who I am." I remember, Pastor Brown, whenever I was going through Lifeline and I was going through counseling, and I remember looking at me in the face and saying, "Can you name something positive about yourself?" And I remember that I couldn't even name anything positive about myself. I couldn't even look inside and say one good thing about myself, because I was my mistake. I was my failures. I felt like that I would never overcome this. Well, let me tell you, that is just the lies of the enemy, that God wants to do a new thing in your life. You're not the equation of your failure. You are not your mistake, but you are a child of the King, and He wants to do a new thing in your life. So you need to talk to that negative critic, and you need to say, "You're a liar. You don't belong here, because that's not who I am. I'm a child of the King. I am not my behavior. I am not my mistake." And the way that you do that is you get an ally on your side. And let me tell you, I begin to hit my knees and I begin to go before God and get in His presence and say, "God, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What does your love say about me?" And I begin to get in His Word, and His Word began to talk to me, and His Word began to reveal His love for me. And I could feel Him wrap His arms around me, and I could feel His perfect love that began to cast out all fear in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get rid of that negative critic in your life, you've got
to start hearing the voice of God. And the voice of God is grace. The voice of God is mercy. The voice of God is forgiveness. The voice of God is His love for you. And the voice of God is truth. It's time to start listening to the voice of truth in our lives. Amen. You are a conqueror. You are not defeated. You are a child of the King. You've been redeemed. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You've got the name. You've got the authority. He's doing a new thing in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to start believing that if He be for me, who can be against me?
The voice of truth in our life has to take precedence over the negative critic that's been living inside for too long. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And those four words are still creating galaxies on the edge of our universe today. And how did He do it? He did it by the power of His voice, by the power of His word. And if God can do that in just a few words, what can He do in your life? And I wanted to ask ourselves the question today, no matter what you're facing, no matter where you're at in your life, is there anything too impossible for God? Is there anything that is too hard that His word cannot change in just a moment, in just a second, in just an instance? Come on, I want to believe that our God is in control and the power of His word is still alive and is still active in our life. You see, it's the voice that spoke the universe into existence. It's the voice that parted the Red Sea. It's the voice that whenever Joshua was fighting his enemies and God made the sun stand still so that Joshua could conquer his enemies, it's that same voice that is speaking in our lives today. And let me tell you, that voice can speak any way that it wants to. If He wants to speak through Moses through a burning bush, He can. If He wants to speak to the prophet Balaam through a donkey, He can. And the fact is that God is speaking all around. Can you hear Him? Can you hear Him? There's nothing that His voice cannot do. Are we listening? Is He the loudest voice in our lives? You see, the way that the voice of God becomes the loudest voice in our life is simply through influence and relationship. You see, I know Emily's voice, and I know her tone of voice. And I know that voice better than I did almost 7 years ago whenever we got married. You see, in order to develop a relationship with someone, it simply takes time. And that's what God wants. You see, oftentimes when we talk about praying, we tend to focus so much on us talking to God. But let me tell you that talking to God is only half of the equation. You see, prayer just isn't outlining our agenda to God, but it's Him outlining His agenda to us. Whenever we begin to listen to God instead of always petitioning Him with our needs, that turns the power of prayer from a monologue to a dialogue, and that is relationship. Come on, if every time I approach Connor and I'm always just talking to him and never listening, that's not much of a relationship. If I never let him get a word in edgewise, that's not much of a relationship. Or every time that I approach him, it's because I have wants or needs. That's not much of a relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to learn how to get into the presence of God and learn how to meditate on His word and just to be still and know that He is God. Just to be able to surrender our will and say, here I am, God. Speak to me. I want to hear Your voice. I want You to outline Your agenda for me today. I want You to order my footsteps today. I want You, God, to
lead and guide my path because I believe that my life is divinely inspired by God and nothing happens by coincidence or happenstance, but I believe that a righteous man's footsteps are ordered by the Lord. So every encounter that I have, every relationship that I talk to that day, God, let it be for your glory. Let me be sensitive to your spirit. Will you lead me and guide me, and your will be done in my life. Let me tell you, he wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to be a part of the simple, mundane things of your life. But will you let him? Come on, will you invite him along with the journey? Or will he be just a check mark in your box of where you spend 5 minutes in the morning praying and then you never think about him for the rest of the day? That's not the type of relationship that he wants in your life. He wants to be intimate with you. And listening to God is more important than talking to God. We need to hear what God has to say more than what God needs to hear what we have to say. In 1 Kings 19:11, the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. It shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but he was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. You see, the ESV calls it a low whisper. The King James Version says a still, small voice. You see, a definition of a whisper means to speak by using one's breath instead of one's vocal cords. God breathed into the dust and created Adam. That means that Adam was once a whisper. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's God breathed. This book is God whispering to you. Do you want to hear his voice? I challenge you. Take time to read his word and then meditate on his word and let him speak to you. I promise he will give you wisdom for the situations that you're facing in your life. I promise you every answer that you're searching for is found in this book. In this book is eternal life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never hit the ground. You can count it that he is true, that he is faithful. Joey, if you'll come up to the front and help me. The standard operating procedure for sound mixers in the film and music industries before going into the studio is to let their ears relax and recalibrate through absolute silence. Acoustic ecologists call the process ear cleaning. Go ahead, flip that switch. By definition, white noise is a sound that contains every frequency the human ear can hear. You see, chronic noise is one of the greatest detriments to our spiritual walk with God. Oftentimes, our life is too loud and our schedule is too busy, and that is how we forget that God is God. You see, there are a lot of competing voices in our life. There's a lot of negative self-talk in our life. But what is the white noise in your life? Go ahead and kill it. Everybody's like, praise God. That baptismal pump is off. That is the definition of white noise. Some of you couldn't even pay attention to what I was saying because all you could hear was that motor running. And you're like, what is Pastor Cotton doing? He knows that gets on my nerves. What's the white noise in your life that has something very important to say. Musicians can come. I'm coming to a close. He always says it through a whisper. See, oftentimes God speaks through a whisper because He wants us to be close to Him. We just don't want to hear His voice, but we want to feel His heartbeat. You see, you think the goal is hearing God's voice? God's goal is not for you to hear His voice. God's goal is for you to be intimate with Him. So oftentimes He whispers to get us in a position to draw us close so that we could feel His heartbeat and that we can know His love. Thank you for that, Joey. That is how God speaks. I want to know His heart. And that simply comes through relationship. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read about a lady named Hannah who was barren. She could not have kids, and she begged and pleaded before the Lord, and the Lord heard her cry, and she was able to conceive, and she gave birth to a boy named Samuel, and she made a promise to God that I'm going to consecrate him to you, and because of that, God was able to open up her womb, and she was able to have a total of 5 children. But the firstborn, Samuel, she dedicated back to the temple. And Eli was the priest in that day. And as he was in the temple, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Parents, what a wonderful testimony that you can have of your children to say that they grew up in the presence of the Lord. And as he was performing his temple duties, the Bible says that every man began to realize that Samuel was set apart, that he was different, that he wasn't like everyone else, because the Bible says that the voice of God was very rare in that day and there were not many visions, because Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were not living for God. They were just going through the motions, but their heart was far departed from them. And the Bible says that one night, Eli, he was laying in bed and Samuel came and woke up Eli. And he said, Eli, did you call for me? And Eli said, I didn't call for you, boy. Go back. Lay down. You see, Scripture says that Samuel had not heard the voice of God and he didn't know how to respond. So he went back and he laid down and he heard a voice again and he went back to Eli and he said, Eli, did you call for me? And he said, boy, I didn't call for you. Go back. Lay down. Finally, the third time, the same thing happened, and Eli finally realized God is speaking to this young man. And Eli gave Samuel words of wisdom that I want every one of us to pray. He told Samuel, he said, I want you to go back down and I want you to lay in your bed. And this is what I want you to say when you hear that voice speak again. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let me tell you, if you can get that prayer in your life, if you can learn to hear the voice of God in your life, what that prayer was simply saying, God, not my agenda, not my will, but speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. Whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, just speak in my life, because a relationship with you is more important than anything else that could ever happen in my life. And I remember the first time that I read that passage, I adopted it Pastor Brown, into my daily prayer. And there's not a time whenever I get into prayer that I go and I say, hey, Lord, it's Leslie. Here I am before you, God. It's just me. Speak, Lord. Here I am. Speak to me, God. I've got to hear your voice. I can't go throughout this day without you walking beside me, because I know that I don't have the strength. I know I don't have the intellect. I don't know. I know that I don't have the abilities to walk in the place that you've called me to. But God, if you've called me here, you've got to walk beside me. I got to hear your voice, God. And the Lord spoke to Samuel. And here's the beautiful part of that scripture. It says, and the Lord did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. In other words, he gave him a prophetic voice. He gave him a ministry. But before Samuel could have a ministry, he had to have a prophetic ear. In other words, before you can experience the purpose that God has for your life, some of you are so caught up in your ministry and your identity and who God wants you to be. But let me tell you, if you cannot hear from God, you're not going to have the prophetic voice of God. You've got to learn to be still and hear the voice of God. And he speaks in a still, small voice as we all stand. We've been praying at the church every day since January at 6 a.m. And we've had a group of people that have come and sought the Lord in prayer. And I remember that we were in about a week into this prayer, and it was during Seekers Week, and we were taking 3 days of consecutive fasting and praying. And I remember as I was walking into the sanctuary, we keep the lights down low, and Brother Lane, I went into my usual spot. And I walked into the sanctuary, Brother Drew, and I got about right here where Kaylee's at. And I got on my knees before God. And as I was in the middle of prayer, I was deep, just not even aware of my situation and my environment. It was just me and God. And I was praying. And all of a sudden, I felt an arm around me. And I didn't really hear the words that were being prayed because I was just so lost in my own prayer. But then I started to come out of my prayer and I started to become aware of what was being said. And I realized that this person that was praying for me thought that I was someone else. You see, Pastor Brown, he was praying for me. And he thought that I was Connor because the lights were down low. And he couldn't see who I was, and we kind of got the same frame and build and same height, and it was a dark sanctuary, and he's praying over me. And I didn't have the heart to stop and tell him that, hey, I'm not Connor. You know, I kind of felt like Jacob that was stealing Esau's blessing. I was just sitting there, and it was kind of funny to me. It honestly was. And he was just praying over me, and he was praying for his son. And he was praying a prayer that only a father can pray. And it began to hit me like a ton of bricks. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just swept upon me, because all of a sudden, I realized that I don't have an earthly father anymore that can lay his hands over me and pray over me with the covering and anointing, because I lost my father 2 years ago. And there was a hurt there. There was a void there. There was a wound there that I had not yet got healing for my life. But the Spirit of God swept in with a still, small voice, and his spirit spoke to my spirit. And he wrapped his arms around me, and he began to say, I am your father. I am here for you. You're not fatherless. You're not all alone. But I've got this in control. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today that God wants to speak to you in a still, small voice. Get rid of the white noise. Get rid of the distractions. Lay down the areas of hurt and woundedness in your life that had to try. been projected over you, because God has given you a new identity and God has given you a new life. And he who the Son is set free is free indeed. Now I want to open up the altars all across this place. And I believe that the Lord has begun to speak to us. And he's going to meet you just like he met me. There might be things that you're not even aware of, that you might have just been treading through life, and you're carrying this weight and you're carrying this void, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God is going to reveal something to you, and he's going to whisper to you and say, I'm your Father. Oh, you're not alone. Oh, those times when you thought that no one was there, when you thought that I was a million miles away, when you're mother and father forsake you, when your parents walked out on you, when they said words that hurt you and cut you and pierced your soul, when your mom and dad went through that divorce and you thought that it was your fault and you thought it was because of something that you did. I'm here to expose the lies of the enemy. Come on, don't believe that negative critic. Come on, you were meant to be free. That's not who you are. You weren't born that way. God has more for your life. You don't have to experience this life jaded. You don't have to experience this life cynical. You don't have to experience this life insecure of all the things that have happened to you. You don't have to be a victim to your circumstances. But he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And he wants to give you power. Come on, he wants to give you life and life more abundantly. Will you hear a still small? Did he talk to you? I'm going to tell you this. Let the word of God be true and let every man be a liar. Come on, I don't care what that negative self-talk says. I don't care what the voice of the enemy says. He's not going to let your words hit the ground. When you learn to hear his voice, you're going to walk in a new purpose. You're going to walk in a new destiny. He's going to make all things new in your life. Oh, is anybody thankful for a new thing? Come on, we're about to celebrate a new thing right now. Amen. Aaron's going to make his way to the back, and he's going to get baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And while he's getting ready, this is what I want us to do. If it's appropriate, I want us to find someone that's close to us. And I want us to begin to pray and to lift one another up right now. Because this is what I know, as Brother Jordan said. Each and every one of us, we've got a mountain to climb right now. You've got a journey that's ahead of us, that's taller, that's greater than what you can accomplish on your own. But before you climb that mountain, God wants to give you strength. He wants to speak a word into your life. And you're going to need to do it with your brothers and sisters. You're not going to climb this mountain all alone. So right now, before we face that mountain in our life, I want us to begin to lift one another up in prayer. Come on, I want you to begin to walk beside them and start carrying that burden. Don't talk about you. I know you got junk going on in your life, but I want you to pray for them where they're at. Come on, I want you to intercede. I want you to put yourself in their shoes. You don't know what they're going through right now. They may come to church with a smile on their face, but there's a storm that's raging in their life right now, and they're trying to keep it all together. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, lift up their head, God. Lift up their head, mighty God. Let them know where their help comes from. Let them know that they're not all alone. Let them know that they're not walking through this by themselves. Let them know that you're faithful, that you're true. Oh, if you be for us, who can be against us? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.